From Santa Fe this week, I'm Joey Peters.
I'm Matthew Reichbach.
And it's another edition of the Weekly Word.
We're here this week with Coco Harris. We're going to talk some water bills. She's going to tell us what water rights transfers are.
Yeah, because we're in the middle of the desert. There's not a lot of water, and it's a big, important issue.
And she'll explain to us what is water and what is it used for. So we'll talk about that.
But first, we're just going to take a little break. So we're back, and I'm Joey Peters with the Santa Fe Reporter.
I'm Matthew Rockbuck with New Mexico Telegram. We're here with Coco Harris.
Hi there.
And Coco, you follow water issues pretty closely. You have a blog. Tell us about that.
I enjoy writing about water, especially during this session. It's the hot issue, really. It's been called the sleeper issue a million times, although I think it's more like in a coma in some issues.
So why is water so important? I mean, for one, we don't have any in New Mexico.
That's a big part of it. And we're not using it very carefully in some regards. And we're in a drought right now, a really, really big drought, which everybody knows.
And how long has the drought been going?
Well, I guess about 2 years we've been in a low water situation, but I'm not an expert on that part. Just seems like the river's gotten real low, and it's alarming a lot of people.
So we get a lot of our water from the Rio Grande, if you're in northern New Mexico. Yeah, but there's problems with our sources of water, correct?
Yeah, and arguably we get a lot more of our water from groundwater, cities do, which is one of the problems.
And so basically we don't have water. We have even less water than normal, and we're using water badly.
Well, and we don't know how much we have exactly. I would say that's a biggie.
So how are we using water badly?
Well, I'm thinking that there's a view that we're still living in a time of greater quantity, but I think ranchers have definitely caught on. I think users in residential situations under a water utility might be somewhat buffered from the shortage, and prices in the major utilities really don't reflect the true cost of bringing that water to the house, and it's not really getting expensive enough to reflect what it's taking to get it to people.
Just off of our normal habits, like showering or flushing the toilet, or are there things we're doing that are just unsustainable?
Or is it more like Intel uses more water than everyone else in Albuquerque combined?
Well, it's a combination of things, but one thing is we don't quite know all the users. One of the problems is the Middle Rio Grande, which is the big gorilla in New Mexico as far as water consumption goes, hasn't been adjudicated, which means those uses and who gets the water that's available hasn't been determined yet by a court or by any settlement procedure. So the state engineer doesn't have the benefit of knowing exactly who gets water first, because there's that concept of prior appropriation in New Mexico that says the users that have been using water longest have the first priority for that use.
So what does he do then? He's like the king of the water, gets to decide who gets what?
he has a very talented large staff that evaluates permits and applications, and a lot of sophisticated hydrological models that say how water flows and what happens when you pump in one place to levels in another place. So they do the science.
And then they try to decide who gets the water.
But they're doing it on the basis of who wants to sell rights. If I'm just a person and I have a couple of acres in the South Valley, I'm not going to really know how many water rights I have until I try to sell them, because that's usually when people come in and get a permit from the engineers, when they're trying to lease or sell their water rights.
So water rights, tell us more about those.
Well, water rights aren't necessarily water. That's the important thing. There's real separation between what wet water is and paper water.
Is there dry water?
That's all we have in New Mexico is dry water.
It's yeah.
Just dirt.
Water is a private property right in New Mexico, and it has a lot of the same verbiage with private property rights for land. It can be sold and transferred, and it's a private property right.
So we were talking about the state engineer before. Then I guess there's a couple of bills. There's a House bill and a Senate companion bill that are trying to like rein in the state engineer and what he can do. And that's one of the bills you've been following, right?
Yeah. There are about 37 water-related bills, and I've been following maybe about 20 of them. Those that I've been following are really related to policy and planning, because that's really my subject is planning. But by my count, there are about 16 water policy bills, and probably about 14 of those deal directly with the state engineer, including how he does water rights transfers and how he deals with applications and permitting.
And so what would this bill do? Are these bills just
well the companion bills? Yeah,
because I'm sure that these bills are all long, complicated bills.
They are pretty complicated, and I'm not really an expert. Well, I'm not an expert at all. But HB 19 is one that's kind of interesting, and that says that you can transfer water from one point to another point, and then have that point B serve as another launching point for a transfer. Boy, that's confusing. So I like to call it the ABC bill, because you can transfer a right. It was allegedly, this bill has been in the legislature a couple years, and it started because a owner of San Cristobal Ranch up above Taos, I believe, transfer water rights for a buffalo pasture. So this was all about buffalo grass, apparently. I don't think so, but and then he couldn't use those water rights at the transferred location, so now he's seeking to do another transfer to location C. That's a little concerning to people who are really familiar with these transfers, because they say he could do that anyway with the state engineer. This just eases a second tier of transfers, and folks who are already really concerned about record keeping in the state engineer's office and public accessibility to those records are concerned this is a way that things can get lost track of.
So it just overly complicates things, it sounds like.
It does. And some also...
And then the water rights go to... They get confused. You don't know where the rights are. It takes investigation to get these things that maybe should be simpler.
Yeah, and the likely answer is they're going to whoever is paying the most, which is not necessarily a bad thing. That's how a lot of Western states have decided they're going to deal with water shortages is the free market. The problem is the market's not really all that free.
Yeah, then you get the case. Like, I hate to keep harping on Intel, but I know that they're the biggest. I think they're the biggest water user in the state. So it's those kind of corporations that end up getting all the water rights instead of maybe the farmers.
What is it? I mean, what are they using all the water on? I guess what does it take to use that much water in Intel?
Basically, cleaning all those chemicals out that they have. That's what I would. That's what I would think. I don't work at Intel, but they do use like absurd amounts of water there. And
it's clear you don't work at Intel.
Yeah, it's clear I don't work there, because I'm saying that. Maybe we can ask John Barilla, since he used to be a lobbyist for Intel. but so what are the other kind of bills that you're looking at here this session?
Well, there's a lot of emphasis on water planning. But there's not a lot of understanding on what that really is. There's been an active water planning process in New Mexico since formation of the Water Dialogue about 20 years ago. And there are people who are very, very aware and concerned with regional water plans. There are 16 regional water plans that have been adopted by the Interstate Stream Commission, who has responsibility for planning. But the initial idea was that there'd be a recurring appropriation of $400,000 that would be shared by each region so those plans could be updated. And that's sort of been forgotten. Like a lot of planning, people don't realize it's not just a plan you stick on the shelf. You have to update them. But water plans are incredibly important because they serve to both educate the users and also quantify in advance of adjudication how much water there is and how much is being used. And also, most importantly, define public welfare, which is one of the criteria the state engineer has to meet when he's going to do a transfer. It can't be against public welfare. How he defines that without a broad public process that involves the users and takes place within a plan is really uncertain. So that's the importance of planning. And Senator Smith has a planning bill for $440,000 for doing important updating the regional water plans, but it's not a recurring. This needs to happen every year.
That's John Arthur Smith.
That's right.
And he controls the purse strings in a lot of ways, so that maybe this year it will be good. But like you said, it needs to be recurring. It sounds like there isn't that much that defines what exactly the water, how to do these water rights processes in New Mexico. It seems like oh, it's kind of taken from this sort of law and then this sort of law and this planning and this planning. There's not like one unified planning structure for water.
Well, there is in the state engineer's office a very powerful set of administrative rules that was just confirmed by a court decision. They call it the Administrative Water Resource Management. AWRM is what we call AWRM. And that actually does have a lot of structure for how permitting takes place. People are concerned that it's a little too liberal, though, and that it doesn't have adjudication at its basis, so that again that transferring is happening without final adjudication in some basins.
So it could be completely overturned by a court, basically, because it's just these administrative rules.
It's more likely to be truncated by our own legislators, that AWRM. And there are two bills that are matching bills to what I like to say throw salt on the worm and limit his power to do these transfers in advance of adjudication. That's the way I read them.
So they would basically give the legislators more input?
No, they would basically restrict his abilities a little bit. I don't think he'll like those bills, but the okay. FIR hasn't come out on them. I haven't seen the analysis on those two bills.
Yeah, generally people who are in the power don't like to be giving up that sort of power. And that bill, that HB 19 that we're talking about, that was one that's, I guess by the time this is up, might have already been decided in the House. And what are the prospects for these sort of bills? Are these bills that come every year and then end up dying, or are they bills that all of a sudden there's a big emphasis on it because of the drought?
Well, the HB 19 and the companion bill that goes with it, I'm looking for, I think it's SB 188, were up and went through the House and Senate last year, but were vetoed by the governor, apparently because of a technicality or a typo in the bills. I think a lot of people who were supporters of those bills are kind of surprised that there's opposition this year, but I think the drought brought a lot of people out. Ooh, that rhymes. And I think also it takes a while for people to catch on, because obviously reading these bills, it's not really clear just from the language sometimes what it's about. Obviously, that's an understatement, but sometimes a bill can, what it doesn't say says more than what's in it. You know, what's left out might say more than what's in it. So I don't think a lot of people are waking up until this session to what some of these bills do. And plus that big decision about the state engineer's power really didn't come down until this year.
What exactly made you wake up about this? You've had your blog for how long now?
Since 2004, I've been writing about planning, and I think...
And what's the address of the blog?
It's coco.cocoposts. I think it's actually Coco... What is it? Coco... What is my blog? It's a typepad.com. I think it's cocopost.typepad.com.
And you write for El Grito?
I also write for El Grito.
Which is... my friend Marjorie Childress, she runs Southwest Organizing Project. That's one of their projects there. They're covered in the legislative session this year.
But I've been writing about land use planning for a long time, and there is a serious disconnect. I started getting interested in water when a lot of people who I knew who were water wonks started saying, why doesn't land use take into account water? Why can't we shut down a development if there's not adequate water? And that really triggered my interest. I think that disconnect between land use planning and water planning is my primary focus.
Before the podcast, we're talking about a pipeline in southern New Mexico that I guess any pipeline these days is controversial.
Yeah.
And I think that Joey was talking about that, actually.
Well, I believe this would be to Las Cruces, right? A pretty big
area. There are a couple big proposals. I think that they deserve extra caution, and that's also bringing people out of the woodwork, because I think they're very concerned down south and some, the location of some of these transfers, about what it means to the long-term health of their area, their region, their rural county. There's a big water right transfer. The San Augustine Ranch was attempting in Catron, and I think it's mostly Catron County. The problem with that application to the state engineer was that he didn't specify where it was going to go. So that, according to the rules, would encourage a speculative transfer of water. And in water law in New Mexico, speculation is a very bad thing. So the state engineer also, there's a bill that was presented this morning that talks about the ability to throw out applications that aren't complete. Applications like San Augustine was the testimony. That would have been 54 or 57,000 acre feet of water transferred somewhere in the Rio Grande for some purpose, and that wasn't specified, which is why it didn't happen. Well, hasn't happened yet.
And an acre foot of water is just exactly what it sounds like, right? Just the amount of water it would take to make up an acre.
Cover it with a foot.
Cover it with a foot of water, yeah. So it seems like Las Cruces is always at the, like, you know, that area is always in the, not always in the center, but lately they've been in the center of these. Why is Las Cruces like such, like, at the center of these water issues all the time? Yeah, besides the fact they don't have water,
it's at the tail end of the river. it's a big city, big growing city at the tail end of the river, and a lot of agriculture in Doniana County. A lot, Doniana. I'm an NMSU alum. A lot of agriculture, a lot of the state's base of agriculture is in the south below Elephant Butte Dam, and that's why.
That's technically Texas water, correct?
Ooh, that's a tough one.
This is the way I understand it, because we have an agreement with Colorado, Texas, and New Mexico, some sort of a compact. And once the water goes past Elephant Butte, it technically goes into it's Texas's water. That's the way I understand it. And even though it's in southern New Mexico, it technically belongs to Texas.
I think a certain amount of it does, but you're off of my subject area there. I know that they get I know that there is a guarantee of acre feet for farmers in south of Elephant Butte
and
as part of that.
We're involved in a lawsuit, New Mexico is, with Texas.
We are. It's a big one, and it's actually caused one of the first closed sessions on one of the bills yesterday.
I think that we might need to get a water lawyer in here to talk about that sort of thing.
Well, I can speak a little bit to it. I wrote a story about it in the summer of 2011. The Attorney General Gary King had brought a lawsuit against Texas for their water rights. Just having a lot. I've spoken to a lot of people in southern New Mexico who weren't happy about that lawsuit, because when it goes past Elephant Butte, it's Texas. So if you're going to take away some of Texas' water rights, you might actually be taking away some of southern New Mexico's water from the ranchers there. So that's interesting side note.
Yeah, there's so many different complexities to this situation. I mean, there's the water planning, there's the water law.
And then there's the Pecos. Let's not forget the Pecos River, which that sample that is being used as an example for how we might handle the lower Rio Grande, which is buying up water rights and then pumping water from groundwater into the riverbed, and it's not working. It's not working very well, and they spent $100 million to do it so far.
Yeah, it's, I think everybody, not just in New Mexico, but in the entire West, is searching for a way to find the water, because we might be a little bit drier than we thought we were.
And so I wonder when, also, not just, you know, globally, in the Middle East, too, there's a lot of water problems. And I've talked to people who are anticipating water wars coming soon, global water wars.
Now I think we're really getting off of Coco's subject.
I think Australia has I was just reading a story about Australia's water markets. They have very well-regulated water markets, and they have used this idea of the free market to apportion water in a time of drought. There are ways to do it, but there need to be rules, there need to be strong criteria, there need to be things that protect prior older users. not like old like me, but prior appropriations.
Yeah, we didn't even get into the Pueblos and their water rights and their compacts with the federal government. And I think that we can that these bills kind of represent a start to, not maybe not a start, but a step in the process towards making them that a more defined process for water.
The problem, as I see it, though, is that we've chosen a solution to transfer water, and are looking at some big ticket ways to do that. So the people who are making money off of this are the ones selling rights. Those aren't necessarily the farmers. They're water marketers. And the folks in the city who aren't really paying the full cost of what's being transferred to them. I think that's a big issue. And I think the idea that we might live within our means just isn't really being discussed. It's just not come up. The solutions being given are massive water pumping projects, and similar to, although more of them than what to what Nevada has done and proposed with the large pipeline that would bring water from the north to the south.
Yeah, I believe it's water from the Great Basin area in eastern Nevada and parts of Utah to Las Vegas, which is a really unsustainable desert city. That if you go down the strip, you'll see huge water fountains, gratuitous wastes of water right there.
Okay, I think that when we start talking about Las Vegas, that it's time to wrap things up.
I got one more, though. Big transfer issue that I think concerns a lot of people big time is the settlement over the Gila River. There is a lot of work that's been done on figuring how to use an apportionment of the water from the Gila. And again, Senator John Arthur Smith has introduced a bill, although it probably doesn't have much chance. It's in the Capitol bill to do a big pipeline that would take water from the Gila over to Cruces, and that would be surface water, which would really have a big impact on our last free-flowing river in New Mexico.
Well, I think I just pulling back and putting this all in perspective. I mean, what do communities, you know, cities, huge desert cities like Albuquerque, Phoenix? I mean, what do we have to do in order to keep living here before we run out of water?
Well, I'm not sure on a personal level. I think all of us know what to do on a personal level, you know, and I like my long hot showers. But there are structural issues, for instance, with Albuquerque. The water authority that does water for that utility is not a directly elected board. There's also a bill to change that. And it was only created in about 2004, in a period of time when Manny was in the legislature. There was a lot of stuff going on that didn't get a lot of careful look. And I think we enabled a separation with the Water Authority that's costing us now. And that is we don't have a lot of direct control over that utility. It's made up, the board is made up of officials from different boards. And that accountability is problematic. So there's a bill to look at that. But I think knowing what our own rate we pay is going towards and being more involved in our own utility companies is probably a good start, too.
Coco Harris, you can read her blog at
cocopost.typepad.com.
And you can read New Mexico Telegram, nmtelegram.com. I'm Matthew Reichbach, the editor over there.
And I'm Joey Peters with the Santa Fe Reporter, sfreporter.com, or pick it up at a Dropbox near you.
And thank you for coming today, Coco, and trying to explain to us what water is, why we need it. And we'll be back next week with more talk about the legislative session and some bills that are out here.